On today's episode, we'll have a lot of player analysis for you. We'll discuss the impact of players returning from injuries on their MLB lineups, what to do with players who started the season hot, streamers, and a few player highlights. That's today on Fastball Fantasy Baseball. I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it. So before we start going, Matt is not going to be on this episode. Full disclosure, we had a major technical issue that was very much my fault. So Matt will be back next week. But to get into some COVID updates, like thankfully there aren't really any negative ones, but I see this as one of those times where it's like the signs in the warehouse that say so many days since last accident. That's how I feel about COVID news here. There's still a couple of players who are out because of COVID issues. Teoscar Hernandez, Max Kepler. Altuve is back in the lineup now for Houston. But, you know, teams are playing again. And that's a good thing. And that makes roster construction and setting your lineups a lot easier. But that doesn't mean that things are going to stay this way, right? So in order to prepare for the next shutdown, the next team to have to shut down or postpone games, or the next set of players that are taken out of lineups because of COVID issues, I am stacking my watch list. And I'm trying to stack it with players who play multiple positions, players of various positions, lots of pitching, lots of relief options. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like I've had Evan Longoria on my watch list forever, but at this point, that's what you have to do. It's the same strategy I have for injuries as well, because there are just so many injuries, like we said last week. So let's take a look at the injuries and recoveries for week four of the season.
Ouch, baby. Very ouch.
Houston starting pitcher Jake Odorizzi left Saturday's game after five pitches with forearm tightness. This is something that we've seen historically with pitchers who start late in the season. And he actually didn't even start that late, but he also is coming back from an injury already. So a slow start was kind of to be expected, but in his two starts that he made, he has looked pretty bad. And so this is one of those players where he's historically been, you know, the most mediocre pitcher in baseball. So I would feel comfortable if I had him cutting him loose. I wouldn't burn an IL spot on Jake Odorizzi. If you want to get rid of him, you can always pick him up later once he's healthy and if he turns things around. Another player who's out that I would consider dropping right now is Miguel Sano, who has a strained hamstring. He does destroy the baseball. He hits the cover off the ball, but he is one of those players who strikes out a lot. He can't play defense. And so he has issues that are going to limit the production. That being said, his numbers right now, he's got a 130 BABIP. That's super low for a guy who typically crushes the ball. But right now, he has a 28% hard contact rate, and that means he's not hitting the ball very hard. Hard contact is measured by any balls that are hit over 95 miles an hour. Now, this is probably going to come up, but I would only consider rostering him if I had an IL spot open or if I was very thin at first base. Otherwise, this is a cut candidate. There's a few recoveries of note, and most of these players are probably rostered in leagues, but if not, then they should be scooped up. Now, Yelich, of course, one of the top players in baseball, he's rostered everywhere. He should be back from his back strain sometime this week. If I had Yelich, which I do in one league, I'm either holding on to him or maybe trying to buy low to trade for him. in my league, I was considering trading him away when the back issues looked bad. But now that he looks like he's coming back, he looks like he might be healthy, I'm going to hang on to him. Now, this is very much like the Tatis situation. If you can buy low on Yelich right now, hoping for the turnaround, it would be a lot like those owners that sold Tatis thinking, you know, things were looking grim, and now he's hitting home runs every day. Ketel Marte is taking batting practice. He's another guy who, if you can find a manager that is worried, go and grab him. Max Fried is doing fielding drills, and he had a bullpen session. The strikeouts for me are enticing, but I'm going to pass if he's out there on the waiver wire, if somebody's trying to sell. I am worried, one, about re-injury and the fact that he's had setbacks already, and I'm also worried about regression from last year. Lance Lynn should be back by Friday. Great starter, great option. He's going to be a workhorse the rest of the season. Mike Moustakas is back after taking some fielding reps over the weekend. Catcher Max Stassi is coming back. To me, he's worth an add if you have absolutely nothing at catcher. He's very, very streaky. And so if you can ride him on a hot streak, great, but be prepared to cut him loose. Otherwise, Luke Voit is doing defensive drills and taking batting practice. They have a May 1st-ish deadline for him. He might be back before then, maybe slightly after. And then George Springer is also supposed to be returning this week. He might be back today by the time this comes out, but not sure. Now, if I rostered him, personally, I would be worried about re-injury going forwards. He's been relatively injury-prone throughout his career. He dealt with first a quad issue and then a groin issue, I believe, or vice versa, or oblique, rather, not groin. And so those are two issues that are problematic, especially the oblique injury, very problematic. So he's one of those players who, if I had, I would shop him. I would at least try to see what I could get for him. The thing that's interesting to me here about the situation is that the Blue Jays are going to get Teoscar Hernandez back at some point soon and George Springer. And that outfield is going to be crowded. The odd man out likely is Randall Grichuk, but he's actually been doing really well this season. So what if they keep him out there and move Gurriel to DH or to first base? Well, that jacks up the infield. What do you do with Vlad Guerrero? Do you put him at third base where Kevin Biggio is? Joe Panik is actually hitting much better than Kevin Biggio. You have Rowdy Tellez you have to find at bats for. To me, Kevin Biggio looks like the odd man out. He's been really bad this season, and I would be worried that he loses playing time. I'm going to talk about some of the players who have had really hot starts to the season, unlike Kevin Biggio. And I'll look at if these are sustainable starts or just mirages. And I'll do that right after a word from my sponsor.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
So there's a few players here who have gotten off to really good starts this year. And what I want to do is look at the behind the scenes data to see if what they're producing is real or just a mirage. So JD Martinez had a bad 2020, probably the worst year of his career. This year, he's got better metrics across the board. His strikeout rate is the lowest of his career. His BABIP is way up. So I would expect some batting average regression, but a 290 to 300 is realistic. The launch angle is in that perfect sweet spot of 15 degrees. It's the best hard hit percentage of his career. There are a lot of similarities between this year and 2017 when he had 45 home runs. Now, he did have a really, really high fly ball rate that year, so I wouldn't expect him to touch 40 home runs this year, but 30 to 35, I think, is in reason. And I know I said before that he, you know, probably wouldn't be that 35 home run, 300 guy that he was in the past. Well, I was wrong about that. So I would buy here, buy this, this start. The swing and strike rate is up. The contact percentage is down. So there is going to be some regression, but he should still be really, really good going forwards. Then Yermin Mercedes, his 455 BABIP is way, way, way high. He is, you would think he is tearing the cover off the ball because he's not a speed guy. But the thing is that he has a 34% hard contact rate, which is all right, but it's not, it's slightly above average. The line drive rate also isn't spectacular. It's 20%. It's okay. But it would be nice to have more of a full season of data, but we don't. So right now, this is the time to sell high on Yermin Mercedes. The expectation is that the production is going to drop off. The batting average is going to drop off at some point. And he's another player that, you know, first week of the season, first 2 weeks of the season, I was like, there's no way that this is going to continue, right? There's no way he's going to be able to keep this up. But somehow he has. He is a contact hitter, but what he's doing right now is just, he's outplaying his metrics. So this is a time to sell if you have him. See what you can get. Xander Bogaerts is another player who's doing really well. I really like Bogaerts. He's got a low walk rate at 5%, but also a good strikeout percent for him at 17%. The BABIP, though, is nearly 100 points higher than his career average. So again, that's something that's driving his batting average up a bit. But I could see a 30 home run, 300 batting average season out of Xander Bogaerts. And one reason the BABIP might actually be up a little bit is because of the 27% line drive rate, which is the highest of his career. So since he's driving the ball more, that's something that's likely to make the BABIP increase. So where it might look like he's getting lucky, it could actually be because he's driving the ball more. He has the lowest, one of the lowest ground ball rates of his career. It's 10% lower than his normal, his career average. His barrel rate is the highest of his career. His 10% home run to fly ball rate is right on the career average. So he's hitting at a normal pace right now. I do think the average is going to drop some, but this could easily be a top 30 player or better by the end of the season. And I feel so vindicated by this because I wrote about it and I've talked about it before. The Boston offense is good and they are going to be good for the season. So buy this offense, Devers, Kike Hernandez, buy low on Dahlbeck right now. He hasn't hit a home run yet. He's gonna. So this is a good offense. These are good players to pick up here. Ronald Acuna, there's nothing that anybody can say about him that already hasn't been said. He is incredible. He, the ab strain that he's going through, hopefully it doesn't affect him too much. You know, and this is coming from a Nats fan. I just love baseball. Even I don't roster Acuna. But he's an incredible player and he's off to an incredible start and the numbers back it up. He is second in the league with 38 hard hit balls. Manny Machado is first. He has 12 barreled balls, which is tied for fourth. He's third in hard hit percent and he has the same amount of strikeouts as walks. That's absolutely incredible. He's definitely the real deal. And he's only 23. It's unbelievable. And then another incredible player, Fernando Tatis, he's actually on a 50-50 pace, 50 home runs, 50 steals. I don't think he gets there, but man, that would be cool. He had 5 home runs during the Dodger series over the weekend. He had the rivalry with Bauer going on that spilled over into Twitter. If you got him on the cheap after the injury, great job for you. You got a stud. He's relatively close in hard hit percent with Acuna, but his BABIP is super, super low. So I would be willing to guess that the average comes up a bit, which makes him even better. And then you have a few pitchers as well who are off to hot starts. Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher on the planet. And, you know, we had this debate the last couple of years, like Max Scherzer, Garrett Cole, Jacob DeGrom, who's better? Well, there's no question about it now. He'll strike out 15 batters every day. He's only 33, doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his arm. And he's only getting better. He's got the fastest fastball of his career this year. He's throwing 98 into the seventh, eighth inning. It's absurd. And, you know, I fully expect him to be the best pitcher in baseball this year. Corbin Burnes is also having quite the year. Now, he got blown up, the other day. But in five games, he has no walks, which is just absurd. Now, there's some obvious luck in what he's doing. He had a 171 BABIP and a 6% home run to fly ball rate, which was corrected a little bit on Monday. Right, those are so low that after his game on Monday, where he gave up 8 hits, 4 earned runs, it brought the BABIP up to a more realistic 273. Now, some good things. He's not letting anyone get good contact on pitches. He has 53% ground ball rate. He's dropped his fastball usage to 14%, which is something we're seeing across the board in the MLB. A lot of pitchers are shifting away from throwing their fastball. And for Corbin Burnes, he's throwing his cutter 50% of the time, 50. He had an 098 batting average against that went up to a 168 batting average against after Monday. And then he has 29 strikeouts on that pitch. 6 of his 9 strikeouts on Monday were on the cutter. This is a legit 1 ERA. Do not trade him away. Hold on to him for the year. He's going to be a top 5 pitcher for you for the rest of the year. And if you do trade him, make sure you get a haul. Joe Musgrove, one of my favorite pitchers from last year. I jumped on the train last season. He's changed himself as a pitcher by changing his pitch selection. One of those other guys who has shifted away from the fastball. In doing so, he went from 8 strikeouts per 9 to 12 strikeouts per 9 from 2019 to 2020. His walks per 9 and home runs per 9 this year are the lowest of his career, all while having a home run to fly ball rate that's consistent with the league average and with his career average. Now, the negative is that his BABIP is a very low 194, but because he's not walking anybody and his home run to fly ball rate is pretty normalized, all the advanced ERA metrics don't think his ERA is that far off from where it should be. So he's doing this by inducing 50% ground balls, cutting his fastball usage down to 18%, throwing his cutter 24%, which is up from 9% in 2020. And his slider is just filthy. He has 24 strikeouts on his slider and a 0.57 batting average against on that pitch. His velocity is up on everything. His spin rate is up on every pitch. He's evolving as a pitcher. This is a top 20 guy. And, you know, if you were going to tell me, you know, make me choose Musgrove or Kershaw, I would choose Musgrove. If you made me choose Musgrove or Castillo, Musgrove. I would take Musgrove over Snell, Sonny Gray, Dylan Bundy, Kenta Maeda, Jose Berrios. It's a very close for me between Musgrove and Gallen. But, you know, a lot of those guys are guys that people would consider top 20. I think Musgrove finishes the season around 15 in baseball. Another player who's shifted his fastball usage is Freddy Peralta. And the results stand for themselves. He is looking great. That Milwaukee rotation is absurd. Freddy Peralta is another hot start that I totally buy. Tyler Mahle is, I think, mostly for real. He has an improved strikeout per nine rate this season, but not much else is new. His velocity on his fastball is up. His spin rate on his fastball and splitter are up. But, you know, that's all the tangible stuff that we can see that he's doing this year that he hasn't done before. What we are seeing is that those changes are producing less hard contact and fewer barrels by batters. And I will say there is a sign of regression. The 189 BABIP is a sign of regression, but a good sign is that all those advanced ERA metrics think he's a 2-3 ERA guy. Tyler Mahle is a player that I would buy if he's somehow available in your leagues. Definitely pick him up. This is an everyday starter, top 35 at least rest of the season. Trevor Rogers is one of those players who was under the radar at the beginning of the season, but he should be on your radar now. If you don't own Trevor Rogers, there's a good chance that you've lost your opportunity. The top four swing and strike rates for pitchers are DeGrom, Corbin Burns, Shane Bieber, and Trevor Rogers. His stuff is elite. He is deceiving in terms of getting hitters to swing and miss. And he has a swing and miss percent of 72% of pitches in the zone. So he's not even getting pitchers to whiff on, you know, breakers outside of the zone. He's throwing stuff. He's throwing strikes and getting people to miss. Now, the 4.2% home run to fly ball rate is unlikely. It's unlikely that he's going to maintain that, but I would buy this guy if I could. Now, there's a chance he might have an innings limit, and that could be a risk, but he should be a good buy for you. And then Danny Duffy is off to a really good start. He does have improved walks per nine, strikeouts per nine, and home run per nine rates. The BABIP is around the career norm, which is a good sign, but there are some things that scream regression to me. A 3% home run to fly ball rate, 44% fly ball rate, and a 25% ground ball rate. He's also given up the highest barrel percent of his career and the highest hard hit rate of his career. This is a guy I would be selling high on right now. So hopefully that helped you get some direction on where to go with some of these guys. Really, I hope these breakdowns that we do on the show help shed some light on how we analyze players. This is something that, you know, everybody can do. It just comes down to knowing what to look for and how to interpret it, and then also how to pick up on trends. And speaking of knowing what to look for and picking up on trends, I'm going to tell you which streaming pitchers I'm looking for this week.
Am I streaming?
After a start over the weekend, I'm intrigued to see what Madison Bumgarner does versus Colorado on Friday. The game's in Arizona, so that's good for him. You don't have to worry about him pitching in Coors. If the Angels pitchers, Andrew Haney or Griffin Canning, are available in your leagues, I would pick them up for weekend matchups with Seattle. Haney goes on Friday and Canning goes on Saturday. Finally, I want to wrap up with two players who I find very interesting this season. I find it hard to rank them and also to decide where I stand on them. And hopefully this will explain why. So Joey Votto is having the weirdest year. He changed his approach at the plate and the results are incredible. He is swinging more, but making less contact than ever before. He has the worst plate discipline metrics of his career across the board. A 26% chase rate, 71% contact rate, 13% swing and strike rate, all career worst. He has the worst walk rate since his rookie year. And this is only his second time with a walk rate under 10%. And you guessed it, the first time was his rookie year. On the opposite side, he has the best hard contact rate of his career. He has the best exit velocity, max exit velocity, barrel rate, and hard hit percent of his career. Somehow, with all those crappy plate discipline metrics, he has the third best strikeout percent of his career. His home run to fly ball rate is exactly at his career average, so the pace of home runs and production is actually legit, and if you pace everything out, he's on target for a 36 home run, 72 run, 99 RBI season, and he's doing this all with a BABIP of only 230. So this is a player where I've been watching and watching and watching already, and I think I'm going to keep watching for now. But the risk is that if I miss out on him and he does turn out to keep up the production, then I've missed out. If he's still doing this, if he's still producing in the next week or two, I might have to make a move. Right now, I'm holding off, though. The other player I want to talk about here who... So this is a player... I've never been an Ohtani guy, ever. I've always been averse because, one, the injury risk. Two, he's never gotten enough at-bats as a batter or pitching appearances as a pitcher for me. Historically, LA has held him out of the lineup when he on days that he pitches, and to me that limits his productivity as a batter. Now this year they are not doing that, and this is a player I was totally wrong about. I faded him in every league, and now I'm wishing I hadn't. He has the same number of home runs that he did last year, except he's done it in 90 fewer plate appearances. His BABIP is only 20 points higher than his career average. A 290 batting average could absolutely happen this year. He has the second highest max exit velocity in baseball. Not in his career, in baseball this year. He has the highest barrel rate in baseball. As a pitcher, he has a 15 strikeouts per nine rate. He's inducing 62% ground balls, and his velocity is up across the board. Now, obviously, there are some negatives, right? His plate discipline isn't very good right now. His home run to fly ball rate is definitely elevated, so the home run pace is going to decrease a little bit, but the launch angle is the best of his career. It's right in that sweet spot where you want it to be, so I do expect him to hit more home runs, or at least to hit home runs at higher of a pace than he has previously. And his hard contact being so good, that's also evidence that he's going to produce more home runs than he has. Now, as a pitcher, there are risks as well. He has an 8.5 walks per nine rate, which is an obvious command issue. And this is something that both he and Angels manager Joe Maddon have spoken about. Ohtani, in an interview the other day, said, I think, that his start before this last one, he gave himself a 0 on command. And in his most recent start, he gave himself a 5. So he obviously knows it's an issue. And I think really what is to be expected is that the command is going to get better as time goes on. The ball is different here than Japan. The mound is different here than Japan. And he has not had that much consistency on the mound. So on the mound here, because of injuries, because the season was short last year, because he doesn't pitch every 5 days. So I would sit him as a pitcher for right now. I would play him exclusively at bat if I had him at DH. Now, in real life, not in fantasy, this is a potential MVP candidate. He's second favorite to be MVP right now. And if he keeps this up, I mean, we're seeing him do something that nobody's seen since Babe Ruth. I've never seen anybody do this in my lifetime. And this year in baseball is just incredible. We are so lucky that we have this year. we have guys playing like Acuna, Tatis, Mike Trout, Juan Soto. We have some of the best players maybe ever playing the game right now. And it's just an awesome year of baseball. I'm so happy that I get to talk about baseball, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll be back next Wednesday with more fantasy baseball info for you. We're going to continue to offer you tons of player analysis, so make sure you tune in. If you want to get more info from me, I'm currently writing baseball, fantasy baseball, and baseball betting articles for thegameday.com. You can check out my articles there. Thegameday.com is a great source for sports betting and fantasy news. So make sure you check it out. Also, check out creativesports2.com. That's the number two. I have a column there called Three Strikes. I'll be posting there every Thursday. Finally, please give the show a 5-star rating. Each high rating moves this podcast up the list on all the podcast platforms when people search for fantasy baseball. So it's something that really helps us out. Follow the show on Instagram at Fastball Fantasy Baseball and on Twitter at Fastball Pod. Feel free to tweet the show with questions, start sit, drop ad, trade questions. Let me know you're listening. I'm very interactive on social media. I will reply. So reach out and feel free to email the show as well at fastballfantasybaseball@gmail.com. with any comments, questions, or anything else you want to know. Thanks for listening.